It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, it's another edition of the Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. Hi there, Daniel.
Hello, Mark.
Hey, we got you in our brand new temporary studio as the KCIS studios are being remodeled. We're in the temporary studio.
Great.
So I'm having to be a little bit more distracted than normal today.
Sure, yeah.
But hey, you want to talk to us today about something that is kind of the namesake of the program, and that is a sound mind. What goes into having a sound mind?
Yeah, talking about the sound mind today, you know, in my counseling business, this is kind of what I deal with. It is so much our problems are largely in the mind. That's the psyche, dealing with lots of things, dealing with personality, dealing with relationships and et cetera. And, you know, this, I know we've talked about, we have these themes that we talk about often, and because that's what comes up in the mental health counseling. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to talk about some of those today. So if people have heard the show numerous times before or gone to the website, you're going to be familiar with a lot of these things. But this, just this past week or two, I know that I've talked to people. One of the things that's come up that, I mean, probably goes without saying, but, you know, depression, anxiety, those kind of underlie so many of the issues or are kind of a comorbidity, a co-condition with so many of the issues.
Isn't that like the number one medical condition that is prescribed now in America is depression and anxiety? It's just off the chart.
Yeah, I think it underlies everything.
Yeah,
you know, it underlies, you know, habits that we have that we're trying to get rid of. Maybe we don't. We're not trying to get rid of them, but we should. addictions, you know, thought patterns and things like even obsessive compulsive or even hallucinations are, you know, and I've said before that everything in that DSM, which is the Diagnostic Statistical Manual, you know, when you go for counseling, you get a diagnosis and a code. And everything in that book that's thick and getting thicker
that all psychiatrists and, thicker, and psychologists use.
Yeah, and has to do with just variations on anxiety and depression.
Hmm.
So, yeah, I've dealt with people, talked to people who have had all kinds of hallucinations, obsessive compulsive, and so, you know, these are just variations on anxiety and depression.
Mm-hmm. Christian or not.
Yeah. I mean, most of my clients are Christians almost invariably. You know, I think – I don't know if I have a client now that is not a believer. So they're –
Have you found that Christians have even more neurosis sometimes?
Well, I think it's the same.
Because there's a religious element to it.
Yeah, particularly here in the West, because one of the things I think that we have we've become very comfortable. I mean, you stop to think of the hit of our history in the past 50 or even 70 years – there's always been some turmoil, but it seems like there have been seasons where in some areas of society things have been pretty soft. I recognize that in some areas, there's Tennessee and some of the areas there where there's always been poverty, there's always been trouble, you know, in places here and there around the country, social trouble. But, you know, the large picture, we've become kind of a soft society.
Mm.
And so these things have kind of snuck up on us, and really we've come to believe that medications are the answer. And I want to talk a little bit about that in a moment, but this thought of you know, the scripture 1 Timothy 1:7, where it talks about you know, Paul writing to Timothy, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Of course, so that to me suggest that fear is the opposite of these things.
Mm.
And fear and shame are really basic to our fallen human nature. Fear because of mortality, shame is a question of worth. Power, love, and a sound mind. You know, what if power? Well, it's obviously talking about the power of the Holy Spirit. And this is something that we have to get a hold of. And, you know, the truth is, if we could just kind of have that mind in us and that confidence in us of the power of the Holy Spirit, that would eliminate so many problems. But, you know, we live in this tangible world, and our walk is one of faith. And so these are things that we don't see, and it's difficult to kind of stay in that area of confidence. But so we have this power. That's obviously Holy Spirit. Love, to me, suggests outward focused. This is not about loving myself. It's about loving others. And there again is one of the main problems. We have a very selfish, narcissistic society, and without even realizing how selfish we are, we find ourselves in a lot of, you know, when we're selfish, we compare ourselves to other people, and we always wind up on the short end.
So the greatest love of all is not learning to love yourself.
Yeah.
As a song sang to us, even though I love to sing.
I mean, you know, greater love has no man than to lay down his life for another person. Mm-hmm. That's a simple verse, but it's actually profound. It's talking about love in the context of what we do for other people. The disciplined mind, the sound mind, is a disciplined mind. Now, this is kind of what we want to get to today. Mm. Discipline, I think there's a scripture that is kind of floating in my mind. No discipline for the present seems pleasant. Now, that's a very rough paraphrase, and I can't remember the. I think that's is in Peter, First Peter, but. The undisciplined mind kind of manifests itself in various ways in counseling. Again, people wanting to break habits, deal with addictions, break thought patterns, depressive and anxious thought patterns, where our mind can become addicted to these things. Speaking of hallucinations, say, for example, I have a particular person in mind who had many visual hallucinations, and say one of the hallucinations would be this person be sitting maybe in the morning trying to have a relaxing cup of coffee, and she would look at the window, and it's covered with bees, hornets.
Mm. Maybe she had early Parkinson's.
Well, I don't know. Do you have some insight there?
Yeah, there's definitely a Parkinson's psychosis is one of I had somebody who struggled with that.
Well, she had this person has a lot of medical issues, and that she struggles with, and by God's grace, she's coming through them. But this is just one example of, the brain can become addicted to. Maybe we've all experienced this one time where you sit and you're bored. And for some reason, you start imagining something terrible that might be happening, and you can work yourself into such a state that your brain actually searches for something that will give it some adrenaline. Mm-hmm. If you're just bored,
so like addicted to fearful thinking.
Addicted to the rush of it. In a sense,
isn't that called paranoia?
Yeah.
Everything is somehow related to take me out or take me down.
And another thing is like the his name slips my mind, but we're talking Eeyore. The donkey that with the cloud over him. Some people can just not sustain positive thinking. They have formed a pattern of thinking, a circuit in their brain, a loop in their brain, where when they're not thinking of anything in particular, they go to something negative. And those are things that we have to discipline our minds not to do that. But
everybody's out to get me.
Yeah, it's
every circumstance that comes up is somehow a plot to
taking it personally. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, I know of people who, we're talking about where the anxiety comes from. So I talk a lot about the inbox and looking at the inbox. What's in the inbox? Where is the anxiety coming from? And one of the main things that people talk about is their exposure to the news and the current day events and things like that.
Lots to be concerned about.
But a disciplined mind, thinking, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are
lovely,
thank you.
A good report.
Think on these things. Right. So disciplining our minds in that way.
Is that being Pollyanna or putting your head in the sand or something? Or sometimes people you don't want to be informed, you know, but you do need to control your exposure to a lot of negativity. Nothing wrong with that.
And
that's probably healthy.
In fact, that came up in a discussion not too long ago. Is that you know, people think that you have one of two choices. You either are knowledgeable of all the evil that's going on. And we know the times that we're in, but we're supposed to have a hope. And the scripture talks about we rejoice in our tribulations, and we have a hope. So, you know, I stay up on some of the news, but after a while you get the picture.
Right.
You know, things aren't good and they could get worse, but that doesn't change God's plan. Nothing has altered. When I was a young Christian, I would go through these times of real doubt. And this was, when I say young Christian, I'm talking about in my teens and even early 20s. Back then there was a lot of my faith, my walk with God was emotionally based. There mm-hmm. wasn't, I mean, I was raised in the Bible and scripture, but you know, if you were raised that way, you know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. You're not really paying attention until you get like into your 30s and 40s.
Right.
I had the scriptures, but I would have these doubts. And one day it was really a breakthrough for me. And this probably was in close to my 30s or in those years. But I had this breakthrough where it's okay to doubt. That doesn't make God less real.
Mm.
And, you know, that
God and Jesus and God seem to be okay with doubt. There's a lot of doubt in expressing fears and things in the Psalms. Mm-hmm. Those are honest prayers.
Yeah, that doesn't.
And God was okay with that. He left them in the Bible.
Yeah, that doesn't change anything.
No,
So we go through these seasons, and I think just being okay with that, mm-hmm. It's okay if I doubt. God is still there. There's a way around it. You know, fragmented thinking is a big problem. Psalms. I always think of Psalms 86:11, where he says, "Unite my heart to fear thy name." And there's obviously more to that verse and passage, but that's kind of a kernel. Mm-hmm. So fragmented thinking. We want to discipline our minds, when we come back from the break, let's talk a little bit more about some of the specifics. I want to hit something on medication when we come back, and then I want to talk about what it looks like to have a disciplined mind, and maybe some things will be helpful for us.
Okay, sound mind, the subject this week on the Sound Mind broadcast. If you're intrigued by Daniel's approach to some of these subjects, you want to get some help from him, how do people get in touch with you, Daniel?
Yeah, the phone number is 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. Also, the website Bible-Based Counselor, where I have years of podcasts, and people can contact me through that website, BibleBasedCounselor.com. Office is Kirkland and Edmonds.
Okay, back with more of the Sound Mind broadcast with Daniel Pryor in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor, counselor and life coach. You know, anxiety and depression contribute to every type of psychosis, behavioral problem, and even many health issues. Unchecked, they can ruin your life. But you don't have to let that happen. If you feel that you or someone that you know is struggling with anxiety and depression, call me and let me teach you the tools to build, manage, and maintain a more wholesome lifestyle. Contact me through my website at BibleBasedCounselor.com or call me at 425-778-6169.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, talking with Daniel about kind of the name of the program this week, Sound Mind, what it means to have a sound mind, and can we do that? What do we do to cultivate that? And you want to expand on this some more, Daniel?
Yeah, we were talking about fragmented thinking and some of the key main things that I think all counselors talk to people about, depression, anxiety. I haven't done this for a while, but I used to refer to this as the emotional root ball, depression, anxiety, anger, fear and shame. I see a lot of people with depression. I see a lot of people with anxiety. I see a lot of people with anger. And depression and anxiety are for me, are forms of anger. Mm. Addictions, also to me, addictions are a form of anger. So we have, you know, depression and anxiety and addictions are often associated, because I talk to people about either living toward the future or toward the past. If we don't, we're talking about sound mind today. So sound mind, looking, having the mind of Christ, looking forward, having hope. The opposite of that would be, without hope would be depression, anxiety, worry. And how do we deal with the anxiety and worry? We deal with that a lot of times through addictions, habits, maybe not, you know, addictions that are necessarily, we would think of immoral, but screen time, a great problem in our society, how much time people spend on the screen, and the fact that—
Watching the news.
Screen, you know, phones, iPads, the news, how much, you know, screen time. There are so many researches that associates screen time with depression, anxiety, anger. And, of course, all these things, as we've talked numerous times before, are based in fear and shame. And that's basic to our fallen nature. Fear because we're mortal. Shame because we have a question of our lack of worth. What is man?
So addictions are a form of medicating this anxiety.
Right.
Talk about real medications, though, because that seems to be our society's go-to,
is
just give them, take a pill, take a Prozac.
And, you know, I'm not a guy, I don't promote medications. I know that there are a small percentage of people that where the diagnosis makes some sense and a medication is somewhat helpful. But we've got to come to grips with the fact that these medications, by and large, are not healthy for us. I was, and the reason I'm talking about this is just this past week I was reading a part of a research by a man by the name of Peter Gotch. And in his in the interview with this man, he also mentioned another kind of champion of mine is Peter Bregan. Both of these men are psychiatrists, and Peter Bregan has written many books talking back to Prozac, toxic psychiatry, and he's very down on medications, which is an odd for a psychiatrist. And Peter Bregan has been called the conscience of psychiatry. Mm. This is Peter Gotch recently wrote a book, Deadly Psychiatry and Organized Denial, and he goes into some really
organized denial.
He goes into some statistics that are frightening. The pharmaceutical companies and the FDA have really underreported the side effects of some of these medications and suicide rates, and how these medications, as often as not, lead to the very symptoms that they're trying to alleviate,
right.
And how that the placebo tests have been more successful than
the medications. You're more likely to commit suicide because of the medication.
Yeah, and I don't want to freak anybody out that's on a medication, but just, you know, I would encourage you never to take over the minimum dose. This is when we need to be disciplining our minds to think positive thoughts, and disciplining our minds. We need to be cultivating our faith, getting a closer walk with the Lord, and those things. Some of the things that I ask myself, you know, what does a disciplined mind look like? And some of the things that, just kind of a thumbnail sketch here really quick, I came up with, you know, disciplined mind has purpose. We know our purpose. We know we have a hope. And by hope, we don't mean, you know, the same hope that we have, like we hope it doesn't rain all week. We hope the credit card has a balance. Not that kind of hope, but the hope. You know, that is our hope. It's not our wish or we're betting on it, but it's our hope. It's our anchor, and our hope is Christ. And so we need to. And that may sound like it goes without saying, but when I'm talking to people who are cycling down in depression, anxiety, addictions, and these various things, that's the opposite direction of hope. Mm. And so we take for granted, I think, as Christians, if we have depression, if we have anxiety, if we have addictive thinking or habits, then we're missing something. And so we need to be more disciplined. Mm. And so purpose, hope, and focus. And look at these three things, purpose, hope, and focus, and they all involve vision. One of the things I've been talking to people about lately, you have to envision yourself in the place that you want to be. Mm. I have been reading a biography of Elon Musk, and now there's a weird guy. Elon Musk has a very dark side, and but one thing he has is vision. I mean, as a kid, he wanted to go to Mars, and I don't know how many rockets he's launched into outer space, but that he just believes he's
visionary. We call him a visionary.
And I think I'm not saying God's hand is on him for blessing because he's such a wonderful person. I think that from what I've read about him, he's either agnostic or atheist at this point. But I think that he is definitely God is using him as a catalyst for many of the pace at which things are traveling. Mm. And so interesting times. But here is a person who has vision. We need to be able to, as Christians, we have to be able to envision ourselves as walking in power, in love, and in a sound mind. We have to see that.
Well, the Bible uses that term, without a vision the people perish.
The people perish.
So that's very important.
Yeah, there are verses, 1 Peter, that talks about, enduring, suffering I think it's in Peter. He talks about suffering brings endurance. Endurance brings character. Character brings hope. These are things that scriptures that need to become real to us. I talk to people about a toolbox a lot of times, and the fact that it isn't the case that if you can memorize two or three scriptures anytime you feel down or anytime you feel tempted, you can just quote these three scriptures and it will just pop. The depression will go away. You need more things in your toolbox. You need scripture. You need prayer. You need spiritual musics, singing to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs.
You need fellowship.
You need Thanksgiving. You need fellowship. You need fellowship. Yeah. And I was thinking, the last couple days I've been thinking about how this toolbox that I talk to people about parallels this idea in Ephesians 6 where it talks about putting on the whole armor of God. Now, I've heard sermons preached, and I know of people who in the morning pray and they say, I just put on this and I put on that and I put on that. I don't think that's exactly the way it works. It's not like these are imaginary pieces of clothing that we just put on. Mm. So let's look at it this way. The armor of God is truth, righteousness, peace, faith, salvation, and the Word. Mm-hmm. And so if we talk about those are things that we are developing constantly in our life. It's not like Paul saying, yeah, here, put this on.
It's a process.
It's a process. Mm-hmm. It's a process. We need to be thinking on things of truth, becoming more knowledgeable about the Word, righteousness, right living. If you're convicted of something, being angry in traffic or being irritated with family members, if you're convicted of that, make a plan to stop and change. Right living, peace, spreading peace, having peace, faith, walking not – so many Christians – well, let me put it this way. If you don't have peace and joy in God and fellowship – we wind up living under the law of sin and death, and we need to just take a hard pivot and stay under the law of life in Christ Jesus. Now, we kind of vacillate back and forth between the two. And Mark, you mentioned fellowship, and so I want to say if you're not homebound, we really need to look for a place where we can fellowship in person. During the COVID, a lot of things shut down, and we started getting comfortable sitting home looking at sermons online.
Right.
That's not the same thing as getting in close with people. And I say you need to be close enough to be offended. We need to be going to church and getting close to people so that God can change us. It's too easy to sit home and see a sermon, take a bit of it, and then turn on the TV or go out for sports or something like that without getting with the people. It's the fellowship. Talks about hope makes not ashamed in Romans 5:5 because it says the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. That shedding abroad is necessary. Mm. I can't interact with people if it's all virtual. Mm. So we've been talking about sound mind. Hopefully this has been some pointers for people. God's given us the spirit of power, the spirit of God, the spirit of love, outward focused, and a sound mind, a disciplined mind. So maybe, hopefully this has been a pointer for some people.
Okay, if you're intrigued by Daniel's approach to how to deal with anxiety and depression, it's the number one diagnosed problem with Americans. He would love to help. How do people get in touch with you, Daniel?
The phone number is 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. Office is Kirkland Edmonds. Also, I do quite a lot of virtual, speaking of virtual, but people can get around a lot of traffic problems and scheduling problems that way, too.
Okay, mm-hmm. Sound Mind broadcast with Daniel Pryor on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.